Venetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, a series of weekly teachings on spiritual leadership, soul growth, and the principles of divine administration, presented by the mandate of the Bright and Morning Star at the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. The title of this teaching is An Introduction to the Supreme Trinity Personalities, part of a series of teachings on divine administration and the Urantia book. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
All right, we're continuing in our series of looking at the beauty of the cosmology of the grand universe, which doesn't only include the actual physical breakdown and divisions of the super universes and so on, but it includes the persons and personalities and the relationships and the way these various levels of the universes are governed and administrated, and the pattern that is reflected down to our level, too, of how we should be living and governing and administrating in all of our human institutions. Before we start, I'd like to look at a slide, the first slide, please, because there are two terms that we need to understand in the manner they are used in the Urantia book. We've said before that the Urantia book introduces a new language to us, and then continuing fifth epical revelation expands upon that language and introduces new concepts. And much of what the Urantia book and the Cosmic Family volumes do with terms that are used in the third dimension, they expand on them or add another definition. So two terms that are used that we need to understand how they're used in relation when describing deities or personalities. One is existential, and this is according, remember I said the foreword of the Urantia book is an introduction to concepts and terms and the many ways that terms can be used. And when we look up in the dictionary for definitions of certain terms that are used regularly in the world among human beings, sometimes there's four or five different meanings to that term. So we always have to remember that. And as we read, we need to understand how each term and concept is used within the text of what we're reading or studying or speaking about. God is existential. Well, what in the heck does that mean? Well, according to how the Urantia book is using it, it's of eternal existence. It's past, present, and future, that there's really, it's all one, that there's no beginning, there's no ending. Now, existential, as it is used in the world, basically means existing, just in existence, having existence, the experience of existence when you look it up in the dictionary, and being grounded in existence. And I think of from Hamlet, Shakespeare's Hamlet, when Hamlet, the young prince, he says, to be or not to be, that is the question. And I remember when I was in high school and we were studying it, my teacher said, that is the existential question. And I'm going, what are they talking about? And of course, Hamlet was trying to figure out whether he should commit suicide. Basically, should he continue existing or should he, because he was so distraught and confused and a mess, which many people his age today, can ask that question too. Well, existentialism is a 20th century term. It's a philosophy. It's a movement. And it's basically, it has many different doctrines, many different ways of looking at it. But basically, it's trying to figure out the meaning of life, the meaning of our existence. Why do we exist? And for some, it's in relationship to the unfathomable universe. Why are we here? And so existentialism covers a lot of territory, but mainly it's search for meaning, man's search for meaning of existence. And there was a period where many novels were written that were written by so-called existentialists. But for us, it means of eternal existence, of no beginning, no ending. Experiential, then, according to the foreword and the way we use it in relation to looking at the cosmology, it's actualizing in the post-Havona present, but of unending existence throughout all future eternity. So it's coming to being after Havona just sort of emerged, came into existence with the infinite spirit when they just boop, were there. And they've always been there, but the infinite spirit is existential. But
can I just share something?
Yes.
Because it's so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
In CFER, it talks experiential reality. And with that definition and this definition, it's experiencing God moment to moment.
Yep.
The fullness of God.
Yeah. And that's what our experiential reality should be. That's the ideal for sure. Yeah. So we are experiential beings, but we have an eternity that we can choose and look forward to. But we had a beginning. We were created, but we are experiential and we grow and progress through experience. And so that's what those two words mean. Then for review, in a way, I want to go to the next slide. What does God mean? Now, many people, when we talk about God, we think of the universal Father. But the Urantia book refers to God in many different ways. And so the foreword stipulates this. And the first five we have covered at an introductory level in these series of Venetics that we're doing. There is first God, the Father. He's existential. He's actualized deity personality. Oh, and I want to point out that the term God always denotes personality. According to the Urantia book, always personality is always a person. Not a force, not an energy, as we've ranted and raved about for almost 30 years now, because many people want to refer to God as a non-being, a non-person. Then God can be referred to as the eternal Son, too, who also is existential and actualized deity personality. And then there's the infinite spirit, God the Spirit, also existential and already actualized. They're completely actualized. We experiential beings are still in the process of becoming actualized more and more. But we exist. Then there's God the Supreme, who is the evolving, actualizing deity person. And we have learned that God the Supreme is moving through experience. We too share that. We too are becoming more real, more whole, more actualized as we experience life in our choices. And the more, as Talia's Van pointed out, the more we experience God moment to moment, the more actualized we become, the more integrated within our personalities we become. We also know that the Supreme Being, when all evolutionary planets, all systems, all constellations, all universes, all super universes have been settled in light and life, and that's not going to be next week, but when all of creation has been settled in life and life, then the Supreme will be actualized. So the Supreme's got a little ways to go too, along with all of us. And we know that as we experience God moment to moment, when we make those choices that are within God's will, it contributes more to the actualization of the Supreme. What a responsibility, you know? Then we have also covered, again, at an introductory level here in these Venetics, it's studied much more in detail in our courses in the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. But God, the sevenfold in this term, when you're talking about God, is deity personalization out into the seven super universes of time and space. And so there are seven facets of God in this manner. Of course, there's the Universal Father, there's the Eternal Son, there's the Infinite Spirit. We know that the Universal Father encounters us personally through the fragment of Him within us called the Thought Adjuster. So He experiences what it is to be a human in a way, but that's how we can personally encounter the Universal Father. The Eternal Son, also through the spirit circuitry, and the Infinite Spirit through the mind circuitry. And of course, the creatures and the beings that we're learning about that come from the Paradise Trinity out, as well as from the Infinite Spirit and out. Then there's the Supreme Being. That's another aspect of God, the sevenfold, that is out into the super universes. The seven master spirits, we learned a little bit about them too. They also are God in certain contexts in their representation. The Ancients of Days, which we're going to learn a little bit more about today, is another aspect. They are headquartered in the super universes. And then the Creator Sons and Creative Mother Spirits. But the Creator Sons are experiential also. And they, we learn, like the Supreme Being, they have to experience seven bestowals on their created worlds as one of their creatures in order to gain the experience to become a master sovereign of their local universes. So they too are considered experiential. Then we have God the Ultimate, which is an actualizing deity personality, and God the Absolute, which is an actualizing deity personality also. And I'm not going to get into them. We're not going to get into them at all in these Venetic series because it just becomes too much. And they're so far down the road to be actualized. We're doing good with just God the Supreme. The next level would be the actualization after God the Supreme is actualized of God the Ultimate. So God can be referred to in those terms also. All right. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to read about the Supreme Trinity personalities. Again, they come from the Trinity. And we're going to read from paper 18, the introduction. By the way, a divine counselor, and we're going to be learning more about divine counselors next week, is the author, helped indict this paper. And it's been a divine counselor that has indicted the majority of the papers that we have been reading from these past weeks. We'll learn more about them next week. I'd like to do a real quick review again of the breakdown of the segments of the grand universe, just because we have to keep reminding ourselves. And so I'd like to show slide 3 right now, please. Thank you. Okay, and this is again a review, and it's a bird's eye view of the grand universe. And of course, we start with paradise, which is the center. And yesterday, many of us experienced Menelik sharing his new painting of paradise and all of the parts and layers and on. It's just huge. And it's very beautiful. And it ties in with what we're learning. Again, we're just covering all of this at an introductory level in these teachings, these Venetics teachings. But they are, the Urantia book goes into much more detail in the papers in after the introduction. We've been looking at the introductions of these different papers and then pulling from that. But notice, too, as a review of the mathematics of the number of worlds, the Havona worlds, there's a billion, there's 7 super universes. There's 10 major sectors in each super universe. There's 100 minor sectors in each major sector. And there's 100,000 local universes in each super universe. And then if you multiply all this by 7, you know, you get that. Like there's actually 700,000 local universes in the grand universe. And then in constellations, there's 100 in each local universe. And it goes from there, but that's where we're stopping. So you notice the significance of 3 numbers that we've been studying. 3, which is the Trinity. And Talia Sven has been giving some teachings in the past few months about trisector reality and trisector consciousness, trisector families. 3. And so there is that. And of course, again, the Paradise Trinity stems from 3. There are many philosophies and religions on this world that think 3 is a sacred number. And so the people are tapping in a little bit to that. Then there's also the number 7. And we know that the number 7 is a very spiritual number. And it stems from what we've learned so far is the different types, the 3 deities, how they can interassociate. First is 3 by themselves. That's the first 3, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Then if you recall the circles, there's the Father and the Son. There's the Father and the Infinite Spirit. There's the Father and the Infinite Spirit. There's the Son and the Infinite Spirit. I somehow got that. But anyway, the last one is all 3 of them interrelated together. And so there's 7 master spirits. Each master spirit represents one of those relationships or personifications of the Trinity, if you want to say it that way, or the paradise deities. And then each master spirit is connected to one of the seven super universes, and those seven, though each of those super universes carry the pattern of that relationship through the reflectivity of the master spirit. And so seven has its meaning. Then 10 also is a number that's very special. And usually 10 is related to a more on a more material level and a more divisions and segmentations that we relate to more on a material level. So those are the three numbers that are valuable in understanding this. We know, speaking on a physical level, that Urantia, this planet Earth, is a decimal planet. What that means is one in every 10 evolutionary planets is more experimental, so that the life carriers get to play around a little more and experiment more with life and life implantation on planet. We don't know a whole lot about the meaning of a decimal planet in relation to other decimal planets and what the life carriers are doing. But in thinking about this and a little information that we've gotten from continuing fifth epical revelation is, you think of the seven Sangik races, how they emerged on this world, usually on normal evolutionary worlds. Those seven races of color, they it's one at a time, and there's a span of thousands of years sometimes between the emergence of each race. But on Urantia, which is a decimal planet, they just basically, from a standpoint, evolutionary standpoint, they emerged all at once. They just appeared or came about, all together, spread across the planet. So to me, that is maybe one example of being a decimal planet and how the life carriers, whatever they did with that. But they just came about simultaneously, those seven races. We also know from continuing fifth epical revelation that Urantia is experimental in other ways too, that have to do with our creator sun participating with three other creator suns from three other universes, and thus the star seed, the repersonalizations, and of people from other planets. And those things that the Urantia book doesn't cover, but that makes us an experimental planet too. The audio fusion process that's happening with Gabriel, the experiment of celestial overcontrol working much closer with human beings in bringing about a final change point, and the suddenly of light and life happening on this world. On other worlds, it wouldn't happen given the state of our world for thousands of years. We're at a brink on this planet, though, with people and the decisions that have been made, that we aren't going to be existing if we keep going the way we humans are on this planet for maybe another 50 or 100 years, according to certain predictions, but not too many generations in the future, let alone thousands of years, to evolve into light life. So this planet, because of the Lucifer rebellion, here's another thing that this planet, there's this experiment is happening because of the Lucifer rebellion and the impacts, and then the following Adamic default. So you learn in your courses many, many other ways that this planet is experimental in context of celestial overcontrol working with us. All right. Then I want to go on to the fourth one. Now, this is more of a review and expansion of what's in paper 18 about the seven orders of Supreme Trinity personalities. Why we reviewed the breakdown of paradise, Havona, super universes, etc., was that these Supreme Trinity personalities serve on these in these different segments of the grand universe. Remember, they're not like the ones that we studied last week, the spirit groups that more come are considered offspring of the infinite spirit, though the universal father and the eternal son had something to do with it. That's what the Urantia book implies, but they're considered offspring of the infinite spirit. These actually do come directly from all three paradise deities. Maybe you could say they're trisector personalities, but they're Trinity personalities. So they represent the Trinity, all three persons together in their when on these different levels of administration. They also represent the justice and are the executive judgment of the Paradise Trinity. And we'll learn a little bit more about that next week. But the first order, the highest order, this is a hierarchy, remember, and they're a paradise. The Trinitized Secrets of Supremacy. And this information that's here, some of it was in the introduction that we read together, but some of it is in continues on in the continuing sections of this paper 18. But they conduct the affairs of the seven spheres, see that seven again, of the Universal Father. Now, the Eternal Son has seven spheres also, and so does the Infinite Spirit, all on paradise. But these are of the seven spheres of the universe Father. They're not creators. You know, the Creator Sons are creators, but not these Trinitized Secrets of Supremacy. And they're created in perfection already and very qualified to do their job, what they do. They're considered supreme and ultimate administrators at that level. They are considered the personal circuit of the Father. And they work personally with all of these persons below us, especially the Eternals of Days and the Ancients of Days. And so the reason they are called the Secrets of Supremacy, we're told by this divine counselor, by the way, that they were trying really hard, the celestials that bring through this information, this revelation, that to define these beings by a name that we could understand that would somehow describe their function. So the Trinitized Secrets of Supremacy, their supreme administrators at the paradise level, the reason the Secrets of Supremacy is because they work personally, like as counselors or whatever it is, they're personally involved with the Eternals of Days and the Ancients of Days. And I'm reading this directly as a quote, because they're private in their work when they're working personally with these beings. And this is taken from the first section of this paper, if you wanted to just jot that down, in the fifth paragraph. And here's the quote. And again, this is a pattern that should be reflected here in our human living and the way we associate with each other and administrate. The paradise creators respect the privacy and sanctity of personality, even in their lowly creatures, We're the lowly creatures. We're always referred to as the lowly creatures. Don't feel badly about it, though. And this is true both of individuals and of the various separate orders of personalities. So there is a tremendous respect for the privacy of every individual personality, whether an eternal of days or one of us human beings. All right, so then we'll go on to the next one, Eternals of Days, and they rule the Havona worlds. And there's 1 billion of them. So there's one on each Havona world. They can visit headquarters, actually, of the super universes. Isn't that neat? These Eternal of Days sometimes. And they operate in accordance with their own ideas and ideals of their world. And remember, those Havona worlds are unique, each one of them, in the climate, the architecture, the social structure, and the way they are administered. So another pattern, then, is that of diversity. There is much diversity allowed within the grand universe among the way things are done and personalities. Then the next are the Ancients of Days, and they are the directors of the super universes, and they provide uniform directorship of the super universes. And I've mentioned this before, that it sounds like, well, if there's diversity and then there's uniformity, that sounds like contradiction. It's a paradox. They are both, they work together in that, because there are certain protocols, certain absolute truths that are uniformly applied or need to be applied throughout all of the grand universe. And based on the love of the Universal Father. So there's harmony and there is order. They do operate, though, only together, never individually. And they never leave the headquarters of the super universes. They operate as a unit of three. And though they are individuals, the Master Spirit, we'll talk about Orvontan, our super universe, number 7, our Master Spirit, but all Master Spirits determine the nature of the super universe. But the Ancients of Days, then, they dictate how the super universe is administrative. And I wanted to read again about the Ancients of Days, and this is from section 3, the third paragraph of paper 18. And it says, the Ancients of Days, you know, remember, they can't leave. They superimpose administrative uniformity on creative diversity and ensure the harmony of the whole in the face of the underlying creational differences of the 7 super universes. So there is unity and uniformity amidst diversity. They're able to do that. Now, the Ancients of Days, we'll learn a little more about them. There's 21 total, obviously, if there's 3 on each super universe times 7 makes 21. We're going to move on to the Perfections of Days. Now, the 3 previous beings, the Trinity Secrets of Supremacy, the Eternals of Days, and the Ancients of Days, they're created to be perfect in their function and in their administrative functions at their level within the grand universes. Now, these others coming, the perfections of days, recents of days, unions of days, and faithfuls of days, they don't get active right away in the universes until those universes begin to become and evolve. Meanwhile, they are trained on the Havona worlds, and they are trained by the Eternals of Days. So they have apprenticeships before they come. Even though they're created in perfection, they need training and apprenticeship. And so they go to school on the Havona worlds. The perfections of Days then preside over the governments of the major sectors. And they are considered vicegerents to the Ancients of Days. And their specialty is in the details. They in the administrative details of everything. And they do not have to be, even though there's three for each sector, major sector, they don't have to work together like the Ancients of Days. And they can leave and go other places and do this and that. But they do work in unity. And going down to the Recents of Days, they preside over the affairs of the minor sectors. And they are subordinate then to the perfections of days, the ones that are that rule over the major sectors. And they mainly focus on the many, many physical problems of the super universe. And the master physical controllers are stationed on those minor sectors. They don't always, they're seldom together because we're told that there's a multitude of problems that come up, whatever problems are at that level of on the physical level. Here on this planet, I think of electric companies, you know, when the electricity comes, it goes out for whatever reason, you got to send someone out to deal with that, to get the electricity back on, et cetera, et cetera. That's what these guys do, take care of that on a that level. Then there's the unions of days. Now, when you get into the local universes, the unions of days and the faithfuls of days are not administrators because the creator sons are the directors and administrators of their local universes. So the unions of days, they only act as advisors and counselors. They're like consultants. They're not administrators. And they are considered, and the what we know the name of the union of days, for Nebadon. What's the name? Emmanuel, right. And Emmanuel is considered our Michael's older brother and counselor. They are considered, these unions of days, the Trinity ambassadors. They represent the Trinity, and they're the paradise counselors. I want to point out again that throughout all this information about all these higher worlds, and here we are down on this mud ball going, ooh, you know, what does that have to do with us? They always refer, almost every section refers to us ascending mortals. And when you get here, you'll get to hang out and have tea with these guys or do this or do that. They're always referring to our ascension, and that we will experience these worlds and actually be able to interact with some of these wonderful beings. When Michael did his seventh bestow on this planet, Emmanuel, the union of days for Nebadon, gave him advice. And if you want to reread that, you who are in the facet six of the Urantia book course and studying the life and teachings of Jesus, you studied about the bestowals first. So you read this. It's in the very first paper of the Jesus Papers, the fourth section. It's paper 120, and it's the first section, which starts on page 1325. And you can read what this Union of Days of Nebadon said to our beloved Michael before he began the bestowal as Jesus on this planet. It's very beautiful. It's the instructions. Then we have the Faithfuls of Days, and they too are advisors from paradise, and there's only one for each constellation, and they're the consultants, the advisors, the counselors to the Verondedex sons, which we'll learn about later, of the constellations. They are the Faithfuls of Days, we're told, are the last link of the long administration advisory chain, which reaches from the sacred spheres of the Universal Father all the way down to the primary divisions of the local universes. And so that, in a nutshell, is what the seven orders of the Supreme Trinity personalities are all about. So we can look forward to meeting them someday. Thank you.
Well, we're going to move on now to Minister Oz Mamane from Australia. She came a long way to be here. She is also a missionary, and she works also in hospice.
Minister Oz Mamane, Vicegerent, First Assistant to the Mandate of the Bright and Morning Star, and I'm a starseed soul from another universe. Thank you for your beautiful teaching today, and just ongoing this phonetic series, and over these last weeks, really learning about deity through divine pattern. From you, Neon, I just so appreciate and I'm grateful for how you help us to understand the divine pattern of deity through the various personalities. But as it comes down to us here, you have such an incredible ability to teach us, one, the principles and the concepts, but really illustrate how this is reflected in divine pattern. Today, with the seven Supreme Trinity personalities, I was really contemplating on how a number of them are called something of days, the union of days, the perfection of days, the recents of days, the ancients of days. And I was really thinking about how that use of language helps us to understand that this is to become part of our daily walk with God and with the Creator. And I don't know if the use of the word days was intended that way, but that's what it got me to thinking. And just in general, how the teaching that comes through about these beings and divine pattern is the very language that we need to remember, that we need this language of fifth epical and continuing fifth epical revelation to heal and to grow. I was thinking about how the loss of language on our planet, being in rebellion, and like you said, Neon, right where we're at now, in this very hour and in these days, that you know we need this language to grow and heal. We've lost culture, we've lost family. Overall, we've lost a full and complete understanding of deity on our world. But that CFER, the continuing fifth epical revelation, has the cosmic, spiritual, ancient language within it to help us remember and really come back into divine pattern. As a student on campus at the university, I would attest that this is really happening here, the awakening for our world. and that we need to speak a common language now. Talias Van, your vision of a one planetary family under a one creator, I do believe it's possible. I desire to really be a part of actualizing that and your vision, and that this is the answer, the common language that will unify us.
Vanetix, a weekly podcast highlighting the teachings of Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, founders of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion, home of the Global Temple of Divine Administration. For those who feel called to serve humanity as destiny reservists, visit uaspr.org. We bid you come.